Lord, thank you for your word and for your ability to apply it to our lives. Holy Spirit. It's so nice. We don't have to go anywhere to find you. We just have to stop running, maybe sometimes, to listen. Lord, let your anointing fall upon all of us this morning, both in speaking your word, Lord, and in hearing it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To the question, when does the Holy Spirit come into our lives? When we realize the futility of self-centeredness and ask Him to. It has many variations of how the Holy Spirit came and fell on people in different places. We'll be looking at that as we go on. When do we not see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives? When we insist on living in the flesh. That's just how it is. Acts 8, 13 to 23. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. That they had been baptized, only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that, through the laying on of hands of the apostles, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you. Because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money, you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Well, Simon came from sorcery, and he had quite a business and quite a reputation. And so he thought to add God to what he was doing, add him to his life, and so enhance his own being rather than glorify God. So here are people who have received the word of God, but as yet the Holy Spirit had not fallen on them. We could say that they were ready to go, but not equipped to go. Peter and John were sent to these new believers to equip them for ministry. We can see in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 15, that God has called some to be apostles, some pastors and teachers, some prophets, some evangelists, to prepare the saints for the work of the ministry. And so there's a work to be done, and there's a preparation to be done. And the preparation, when I see these scriptures here, happens to see that the Holy Spirit is in charge of their life first. Well, of course He is. They're born of the Spirit. Oh yeah, they're born of the Spirit. But many children don't follow in their parents' footsteps. And that's what this is saying. To be filled with the Spirit and then fall in your Father's footsteps. Walk as Jesus walked and taught. Be His. Be under His power. So how did they equip for ministry? They prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful for the Nazarene Church in that they require a person to be baptized in the Holy Spirit before they proceed any further with education. If you apply for ministry, that's one of the first questions you answer. And if you say no, then they'll help you out with that. Not that you have to do something or speak in tongues or quack like a duck. It's not that kind of a thing. It's to make sure that your life is well ordered by God. You've got things straight. You're not trying to do things for God. You're not trying to be glorified by the power of God. You just want God's will in your life. Simon himself is proof. Proof of what can happen when people are not filled with the Spirit and yet desire to follow God. He believed and was baptized and yet was right out to lunch as to the Holy Spirit. Simon was still center stage in his life, and God was giving him the opportunity to rise into the position of backstage. Rise to the position of backstage, not front stage. We all start our journey with Christ, coming from somewhere, and somewhere is some form of self. It might be self-righteousness, self-centeredness, self-pity, or self-abuse. All of these things challenge God's will and are an affront to Him. So he's clearing a base of working. That happens mostly when we're saved and the old life is changed. It's gone. It's like, wow, this is amazing. And we feel like we have arrived. And then suddenly the fire of the Spirit comes and the trials come and the temptations come and we wonder what happened. Well, that's the sanctification process. It'll take the rest of your life. Are you saved? Yes, you're saved. Absolutely. Are you living like a saved person? Yeah, not bad. Can it get better? Can we get better? Is there more we could do? Is there more we could be to live under the power of God? Absolutely. So, people can follow along in Christian circles who are not living under the power of God, but not be the least bit bothered by the things that bother God. And this is the heart of what I'm trying to say. That you might have the mind of Christ. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians. You've got the mind of Christ. Why don't you use it? All the spiritual gifts were there, and they were using them wrongly. They were using them to glorify self instead of God, instead of building the church, instead of edifying the body. However, when we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we can expect to be very uncomfortable with everything that bothers God. And in this day and age, that's not gonna wash. But I don't care about this day and age. I care about people. And I care about God. And I care about rescuing people from the fire of this old world that's perishing. Because political correctness, oh no, we should never say this is wrong or that's wrong. Even people misusing the scripture from the book of Matthew that Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. So you never judge anything, right? Do you ever discipline your children? Do you ever speak to your employer or your employee as to doing things right or wrong? Absolutely. When he says judge not, it means do not condemn. It doesn't mean don't decide what's right and what's good or recognize it when you see it. How silly would that be? It'd be like driving down the highway with no center line and cars going in both directions. Not good. Not good. In this scenario, no one, including Simon, was particularly aware of the hidden recesses of their hearts. He was just kind of going along and doing what he always did, with the tendency he always had, and that was centered on self. And the Spirit had interrupted him for a short time, but quickly, when occasion presented itself, he went back to who he really was. They were not deliberately living in denial as to the Holy Spirit's place in their lives, but they were living in ignorance. For the need of it. For the need of it. Not it as an experience. Him as a person. Personified. Up close. All the time. Speaking into our hearts. Encouraging us. Correcting us. Showing us what is sin and what isn't sin. Showing us that the world is judged. Showing us that Satan has no hope other than to torment us for a short period of time. Here we see God deliberately using Simon's zeal for power to expose Simon's greatest lack, his love for God. Because his love for God was superseded by his love for power, money, influence, and reputation. And you may not be overpowered by that, but it is a temptation to all of us on a regular basis. Any one of those. We don't take backstage so easily. Peter sternly rebukes him in verse 20. And we could say that Peter's rebuke was not in keeping with proper Christian character. Or is it that Peter is simply bothered by the same thing that bothered God? What was the deal with Jesus overturning the tables in the temple? What was that all about? Was he having a weak moment? Was that just his flesh? To actually turn tables over and call people money changers and get out of here? That would be a great thing for church, wouldn't it? Come on in. No, get out. Come on in. No, get out. Well, you know what? There'll be both of that, depending on what a person is trying to celebrate in the church. It'll happen both ways. If we have a heart for God, we'll be able to see it and appreciate it. If we don't, if we just have a religious heart or a heart for ourselves, it won't make any sense. You can't do that. Really. If you make a mistake, do you like it when someone corrects you? Maybe let's put it this way. Do you like it? Do you appreciate it when someone corrects you? Do you like it? No. Do you need it? Yeah. That kind of thing. not to be a self-appointed food inspector or be belligerent with it. The scripture says the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be patient, gentle, and kind. So we do that whenever possible. And when it's not possible, don't be surprised if something rises up in you and you need to say something difficult to somebody. So, he rebukes him because he was bothered by the same things that bothers God. Simon's past was that of a sorcerer. He needed to move away from that. His instruction to do so needed to be more than a gentle suggestion, because he was enamored with what people were thinking of him. And so here you've got Simon's soul on the line, and how many others? It doesn't say, but he had a following. How many others? If he carries on pretending to be a Christian and living like the devil, so to speak, if he's a sorcerer, he's an unbelievable believer. And how much does that pollute? A lot. A lot. Marie and I are enjoying peaches off our tree. Some of you have seen pictures of them on Facebook, but one of them fell off the tree yesterday, and it fell on the ground. And within, I think I saw it in the evening, I picked it up in the morning, the bruise and the rot had already started going down into the peach. Just one end was scarred up a bit. Went right down into the peach, right down to the stone. Just a little bit, and it polluted the whole thing. I got it this morning before it got any further. He had quite a following, Simon, and a reputation as a sorcerer. So obviously this was not something that God wanted in Simon's life or in the lives of the people who were following Simon. This was not something to play around with or tolerate. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. 1 Corinthians 5:6 and Galatians 5:9 reminds us of that. So Acts 18:24 to 28 now. Now a certain Jew, here's a scenario, another situation. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, both born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue when Aquila and Priscilla heard him. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. The Holy Spirit will do that. Jesus is the Christ. For pastors, they need to hear that. Jesus is the Savior, not you. For us helping people, we need to hear that. Jesus is the Christ, not us. We can be helpful, but we're not the Savior. The Scriptures can be used to improve one's life, lifestyle, and morality to a point. But if Christ is not preached, then how can Christ be received? So what happens? Oh, I feel good. Well, I learned how to do this, or I learned how to do that, or I got a new diet to lose weight, or I got this and I got that. But if you don't preach Christ, how can one believe in Christ? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. But people cannot hear without God's word being present and active as their life. So how does that work? The word. What is the word? This is the word of God, right? This is the Bible. Accurately recording the word of God. The word of God is Jesus. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. He released the word, and it was so. Gospel of John explains it well. He says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and there wasn't anything created that was created without him. And then in, I guess, verse 14, it says, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. The Word of God. So when we read the Bible, the Word of God is very near. Well, yeah, it's about this far from my eyes, right? About 6 inches away or a foot away from my eyes. No, no. The Word of God is very near. Jesus said, if I do not go to the Father, the Comforter cannot come. But if I do go, I'll send him to you. Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, in our lives, looking over our shoulders, telling us what we need to understand. Telling us what we need for somebody else. Telling us what we need for ourselves. Telling us what we need for our children. Telling us
telling us?
Otherwise, we'll just look at the scriptures, maybe, and apply them in a certain fashion that people would be, wow, that's amazing. Did you hear that guy speak? I've heard motivational speakers. Amazing. Never mentioned the Word of God once. I was laughing so hard I had tears in my eyes. Great presenters. We can be moved by a lot of things, but only moved in the right direction through the Holy Spirit's unction. We need that. We need that. It's not an experience, not a thing. It's a relationship with God. A working relationship with God. Hands on. He's got His hands on our heart. We have nothing that we don't have, like, you know, do you have things that you would never do? You need to get rid of that. Just get rid of that list. Because you don't know what you will do, what you won't do. If you open your life up, just let God take it. I did that. I ended up in a lot of places I thought I would never be. Including this one. Not to let God be our life. So what's the first thing that a preacher must preach then? It's not the do's and don'ts of the Christian life. It's not to present an historical overview of biblical history in an easy to understand timeline, although that's convenient and pleasant. It's not the job. The job is to preach Christ, the need for Him, the availability to Him, the promise that He will finish the work that He started. I don't know how many times I remind people of the obvious. God is at work, and He will finish it. Trust Him. That's all I give them. The situation doesn't change, and that's all they get. That's enough. It's more than enough. Grab onto that, and their journey will be different than anybody else's, but it will be God who leads all through it. The first thing in presenting the gospel for the presenter is to know Christ. To know Christ is to make the Word present. To make the Word present. How do you do that? Well, you just read it. Yeah, kind of in the room. But if you let the Holy Spirit take over, He'll start expounding all kinds of ways that the Word will apply to your life. And you'll end up sitting in a church sometime and some preacher will be preaching away and you'll go, man, how do you know what I had for breakfast? Were you there when I... How come? Because the Holy Spirit is always there. He loves to speak publicly, but He's always there. The Holy Spirit continually comforts us that He is with us. We cannot give someone something that we do not have. If we know Christ and not simply facts about Christ that we heard secondhand, then we can be assured that He will show Himself as we share the gospel. That's the most important thing. Actually, before people ever come to Christ, they're moved by His love for them, some way or another. The Holy Spirit, like, He's not dependent on us to take Him anywhere. He's in the earth and in us. He's out there preparing people that don't even know Him, impressing them with how much God loves them in a myriad of different ways. And we show up to share the gospel, and we think we're taking something new to them. No. They're just on the precipice, and we need to just help them step over. The major work's already been done. You just have to let God speak through you to do up the finishing touches. The gospel message needs no selling. It is very, very real. If our lives are as real as believable as the message we present, the connection will be made. This is when people begin to hear God speaking. Some of them will be drawn to it. Others will run. But that is how the message needs to be communicated. This is what Aquila and Priscilla were showing Apollos. He needed to preach Christ. He was preaching the word accurately for what he knew, but he needed to preach Christ. Otherwise, people become dependent upon themselves to understand it. You begin to say things like, oh, have you sat under so-and-so's teaching? Oh, have you sat under so-and-so's teaching? Oh, it's marvelous. You know what? It's nothing if you didn't hear Christ speak deep into your heart. It's nothing. It may have been clever motivational speaking, which, by the way, you probably figured out I'm not in favor of. It's too empty. People need more than that. So to this point, Apollos only knew the baptism of John, preparing the way of the Lord to make his path straight. Baptism was a cleansing ceremony in which man was getting ready for God to do his part. Ah, that's all it is. Man is getting ready for God to do his part. Baptism doesn't save you. It's a public declaration, that's harder to go back on a public declaration, that you have made yourself ready for God to work. Say, okay, God, here I am. Perfect. That's your part. You don't do any more. And then John the Baptist said, actually we'll get down to it here, so I won't do it twice. Baptism was a cleansing ceremony. Right. Then Jesus came, and he said, get ready, for the time has come. Mark 1:15. He said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So Apollos wasn't a heretic. He just got left behind a bit. That's all. But how far behind? Not very far. God knew where he was. He knew what he was doing. Aquila and Priscilla showed up. Just two regulars. You never hear them again much. Just two believers. And they helped him greatly. So what was the update that Apollos got? Jesus is the Messiah. What? The one we've been waiting to come to empower us to live the life he's called us to. This one. Wow. He's the one Israel had been waiting for. You know what I like about good teachers? They are so teachable. Apollos was a good teacher. And he heard that admonition. You need to preach Christ, Apollos. The do's and don'ts will take care of themselves. You need to preach Christ. Yeah, there's other stuff and other applications. But if you preach Christ, you have a healthy body. A healthy body. Sheep that are fed, they'll actually look after one another. But sheep that are hungry because all they've heard is things of do's and don'ts, they're cranky. And they drop laws. And there's no grace. And they shrivel. And so does everybody that comes to that place. We need to hear the Holy Spirit speak. I encourage you to listen. Each Sunday, I encourage you to listen. I say things that he says to me in the office. That's all you get. I look in a piece of scripture and what I believe he's saying to me, I write it down and then I tell you. And then we do stuff to pastor. You know why? Because he's active and alive in you. And you preach the sermons. You preach better sermons than I do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's just that close. He wants to have just that kind of control. Just finishing up here. Apollos was receiving the good news, the word of God, then was able to hear the word he taught. He could hear the word then he taught. So important. So that you stay connected. When you're a preacher, when you're a presenter, you need to stay connected. You need to keep your feet on the ground where you live and your head in view of God. Or always been able to see God. You need to be connected. You need to be believable. That's where you're believable. Not here. People drive by the church all the time. Thousands of cars on this street. Not very many of them come in. Believable. Where you live. Where you go. Don't have to get all weird. Just be yourself. Love God. And walk into the situations as they come up. God had been working in Apollos. Much like he had worked through John the Baptist, preparing people for his entrance. Apollos took the same position that John the Baptist did when he saw Jesus coming. This is your final scripture for today. My final one for today too, maybe not. Matthew 3:7-12. So here's John the Baptist. Now listen, this is a man moved by the Holy Spirit. He was sent here by God to do this. Okay? So listen to him. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's a nice word, hey? Why don't you come to my service? Yeah, not likely. You're going to call me a snake? Why would I come? That's what he was given to do. And that time is very appropriate. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. his winnowing fan will be in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John in the Jordan to be baptized by him. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's weird. I've seen people do weird stuff. Sure you have. People will do weird stuff all the time. But don't let that disqualify what God really does. Be a believable believer. Don't be ashamed of the Holy Spirit.